All right. Well, we were talking about little flock. Believers were set apart unto obedience. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Now, we're not Israel, but it helps us to understand what conditions they were under, that they were under different conditions, so that when we see something that doesn't seem to fit about us, having to obey or something like that, we understand, well, let's see who it was to. Was it to us, or was it, Peter? Does Peter write to us? No, Peter writes to the little flock, to the 12 tribes, put it that way. So looking at 1 Peter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, or setting apart, of the Spirit. Again, we saw in Romans 15:16 that setting apart has to do with the gospel of God. Ones that believed it were set apart through sanctification unto obedience. They had to obey still and endure to the end in obeying. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Those are the words of Peter. Those believers in that first century church of God in Jerusalem were sanctified unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But they had to obey, sanctified unto obedience. Remember Matthew 24, verse 13. Jesus said it unto them, unto Israel, not unto us. We weren't there. The body of Christ didn't start till Acts 9. But Jesus said to Israel, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Also in Matthew 10:22, he said it. Israel was still under the same covenant conditions as before. Israel had agreed to obey all the laws, all the time. And you can see that in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Do it. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments. Keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land. There's the secret. In the land, not in heaven. They weren't promised heaven. In the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 17 and 18. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear. Do they believe that prophet that Jesus, God, told them in Deuteronomy 18 that he would send the prophet like unto Moses? Did they believe when he came? No. They crucified him. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to go to possess it. Christ never revealed to Paul to preach to us the body of Christ goes in to possess the land of Israel. That's not our promises. That was Israel's. We have been promised a house eternal in the heavens. Our conversation is in heaven, not on earth. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Remember a building, he said, you are looking at that Paul's meeting with the two groups. He says to one group, you are God's husbandry. The other group, you are God's building. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's an indisputable difference. So, yes, they were sanctified, they were set apart, but we must not read into that what God did not say. They were not yet saved. They were waiting to be saved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember at the beginning, John, in John 1:11 or 1:10, 1:12, in that area, he says, you shall receive power to become something. It turns out to become sons of God, but it doesn't say you shall be sons of God. It says you shall receive power to become sons of God. They could use that power or abuse it or disuse it. For now, let's look in 1 Peter 1:5 and 1:9 and 1:13. It's pretty much throughout that first chapter in Peter that Peter writes in his epistle to Israel. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last time. They have to wait for their salvation. Believers in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, are saved upon belief at that instant. We are saved now. We're sealed now. In fact, right now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers of, high places. I got myself into it. Let me find my 6:12, that is. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. That refers to demonic activity, or devilish, you could put it that way, devilish activity in the God of this world, prince of the power of the air, somewhere up in there, in high places. How did I get here? Hold on. I lost my place in my notes. Where were we? We were in 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter 1:5. There it is. Salvation. I got the verses here in my notes. That's why I lost. Anyway, unto salvation, who are kept by the power of God through faith. They had to have faith, not just keeping the Sabbath and keeping the law, etc. They had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's at the end of their faith. That's at the end. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And don't forget Acts 3:19, 20, and 21. I don't have them written down. If somebody wants to post those, that says basically the same thing, that they get their sins blotted out when Jesus Christ returns, and Christ has to stay in heaven until the restitution of all things. The restitution of all things would be the end that it's talking about here, the last time. They were being called to be saints. With that in mind, look again at the verse 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, that's those who had newly become the true circumcision, withdrawn from the apostate synagogue in Acts 18, verses 5 to 8, to them that are sanctified or set apart out of the wicked leaders of the nation there and of the synagogues, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set out of the synagogue again, but apart, set apart in Christ Jesus, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name, the identity, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul, writing, he's writing to former synagogue goers that were sanctified by the gospel of God. They were set apart, and he's telling them that God calls them to be saints, to be set apart ones. Again, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the full, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called them to be saved saints. About 9 verses later, in 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 24, he gives them a brief version of the gospel of salvation. But before they could believe the gospel of salvation, they had to hear Paul preach to them the gospel of salvation. That's what Romans 10, 14, and 15 said that we read a few minutes ago. Compare to Paul's similar urging to the Romans in Romans 1, verses 6 and 7, among whom are you also called of the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So through Paul, Jesus Christ was calling them to be saints. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells them how to become saints, saved by the gospel of salvation that he was preaching to them, just as we are. Those Corinthians had benefited from the covenants of promise by being in the commonwealth of Israel. That's named there in Ephesians, I'm trying to think, it's 2, I think, Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. 12 especially. We'll get that another time. But they were benefiting from the covenants of promise. The covenants of promise were given to Israel, but they got into the commonwealth of Israel by blessing Israel in the synagogues and on the Sabbaths. But now Paul was calling them to be saints that were saved. They were saints, but they weren't saved saints yet. He's calling them to be saved, having heard and believed his preaching of the gospel of Christ, which brings them immediately into the body of Christ. What about the name of Jesus Christ? Paul also addresses that epistle to a second and similar but wider group, all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus. Let's look in Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And that's one of the proofs that we know that Acts 28, 25 through 29, the end of the chapter there, the end of the book of Acts, is their casting away and their blinding, their final blinding. I shouldn't say final, because God will bring them back in way out in the future somewhere, in the future from us. But your house is left unto you desolate. That's a term used in Isaiah 6, verses 11 and 12, to describe what goes on after they are cast away and blinded, which Paul read to them that part, verses 9 and 10, but 11 and 12 verify by history. I mean, that land was left desolate for centuries. And So, going on, verse 35, Luke 13, 35, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you can see that happen in prophecy in Zechariah 10, verse 12. But not until, I mean, not in the condition they're in now, not until by the grace of God he pours out on Israel a spirit of grace and of supplication. And then they can call upon the name of the Lord when he's ready, when the time is right. Before reading the next two passages, let's review who Peter, James, and John write to. Look at Galatians 2:9. When James, Cephas, Peter that spoke in Acts 2, that gave the sermon in Acts 2, and John, who wrote 1 John, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we, Paul, should go to the heathen, and they, the little flock apostles, go unto the circumcision. The circumcision. That's the believing little flock, the church of God at Jerusalem. Believing Israel, not apostate Israel. Peter and John write only to Israel. They go only to Israel. Their writings are to Israel. Look at Acts. We'll look in Acts chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Remember that it's Israel's salvation that's in the future. They shall be is a future tense verb. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a reference to Joel 2 and the tribulation time that is coming after the catching up of the body of Christ to heaven. Going on to verse Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. That's what Mark 16:20 says, isn't it? By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. So, who is he talking to? He says, you men of Israel. In other words, not you guys, but you men of Israel, listen. This is to you. Okay, 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we, that's John the Israelite speaking to Israel, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us command. Us, who's us? Not you and me. Christ gave that commandment to Israel, to his 12 in particular. Calling on the name of the Lord, or his identity, who he is described as being, is associated with Israel needing to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Mary, born under the law, that he is Christ. He is the Messiah. Of their own Old Testament prophecies, he's the one they were waiting for. Daniel 9:25 and 26 talks about him. Let's look at those. 24 we'll start at. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Nothing in there about the mystery, is there? Know, therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, okay, that's the city, not the temple, the city, to the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem from the going forth of that unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after, we should go through those weeks before we go on to verse 26. Those weeks, let's see, they add up to 7 and 62, that's 60, and 2, 7 and 60 would be 67, and 2 is 69. So it's a 70-week prophecy, and he says during the first 69 of those weeks, this is what's going to happen. All those things listed: end of sins, reconciliation for iniquity, everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy, Palm Sunday. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, it's going to be those weeks. Okay, so back down to Daniel 9:26, and after 62 weeks. Well, up above there, in verse 25, he said 62 weeks was after the 7 weeks. So you've got 7, and then these 62 that he's referring to. That's after 67. That would be right. Right, 7. And 60 is 67, yeah. After 62 weeks and 2. Okay, I missed that. Let me get it right. 62 that come after the 7. So that's the whole 69 weeks that have passed so far. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So we know about Messiah being cut off, don't we? That he was crucified, but not for his sins, not for himself. It was for our sins. Actually, the Bible doesn't say anything about that until you get into Acts, into and beyond Acts, in Romans and Paul's letters, Paul's epistles. This verse doesn't say anything about him dying for your sins and my sins. It's talking about Israel's sins, Israel's iniquities, and Israel's transgressions, their iniquities, they're going astray from God. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. More desolations there in the land. So, got some math here. 70 weeks times their weeks, you know, how many days are in a week? 7, right? So 70 times that 7, because it's called a week, that's 490 years. 7 plus 60 is 67, plus 2 is 69 weeks, which would be 400. So 69 times 7 is 483 years. Taking an average, if you average the two estimates of in Nehemiah 2, verses 6 to 8, there's the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, the city. And one estimate, authority I have on is it authority? What do you call it? A footnote here. Where it came from is A period V period. It looks like, authorized version. I don't know, but the year is B.C. 446. And you average that with the usher date, which would be 454. And when you average those, you come up to 450 B.C. So you start at 450 B.C. To that 450 B.C., we add the 483 years of Daniel 9:26. That's 69 sevens. So the 62 weeks, 62 weeks start after the 7 weeks. So that's why we use 70, 69. So Daniel prophesied the Messiah being cut off 33 years after the 400... 33, he was 33 years old when he was crucified. So that's well known, it's well within that disputed 4 years of calendar difference error when they changed the calendar readings. Daniel 9:26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. A Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, what about that according to the Scriptures? Did you ever wonder how that phrase applies to us? Actually, it only applied to those to whom it was written. It was written in a dispensation of the gospel back then in those seven chapters in Acts, from Acts 13 to Acts 19. Through the end of Acts 19, actually the first five verses of Acts 20, but they were former Jews and Greeks that were prophesied about in Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Let's look there. Deuteronomy 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Before those salvation verses in 1 Corinthians 15, before they can apply to us, we need to find a verse or verses that bridge 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, from a dispensation of the gospel over to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, instead of as it was initially, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Greek trying to come to God by blessing Israel. That's not me. Actually, God supplied that bridge in two ways, starting with these verses. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, both talking about what they believed as being the same thing. But one, look at verse 12, Ephesians 1, 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. That's us. Centuries later, we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. But the point is, it's the same gospel message. It's the same content to the gospel, even though it's a different name of the gospel. When it was to the Jews and the Greeks, it was the gospel of Christ. After Acts 20, verse 6, it became to all men as the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24, he 18 verses later, he names it and tells people about it, that he had received the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God, or the good news that God is gracious in saving us without works by faith. So, even though Israel had Daniel's prophecy of Messiah being cut off in 33 AD, the vast majority of Israel remained apostate, with only the little flock believing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus of Mary, Jesus of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth, that person is the prophesied Messiah, the Christ. So it was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That's who Paul is calling to be saved saints. by believing the gospel of Christ, into the body of Christ. This is more documentation that Paul was calling the remnant, according to the election of grace, into the body of Christ, by the gospel of Christ, which was their Messiah's newly revealed pattern of salvation. And that's what I've got for today. We've got one more lesson to go